Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
You know there's a story in the air when Barry Lenehan walks into studio and he's with me now. And just to tee it up, let me read you this, Barry, to 51551. I went to school in Talla in the 1970s, says a listener, and we had swimming lessons as part of our school curriculum. My children have all had swimming lessons in Talla, and now as adults are avid swimmers. I would have imagined in 2024 every area would have access to a swimming pool. Is that listener? Well, listener and all others, swimming clubs and leisure centres are having to close off waiting lists for lessons and cut access to the general public as well due to a dearth in swimming pools. The success of our Olympians has brought access to swimming facilities into sharp focus, with the government to publish a new national swimming strategy later this month. But there are already calls for measures to fast-track the construction of swimming pools nationwide. And as I say, Barry Lenehan is here. He's been looking into this. What can you tell me?
Well, strong hopes our swimmers can make an even bigger splash in Los Angeles after the success of Paris. Here's what Olympic champion Daniel Whiffen told me earlier this week.
Yeah, I mean, I said before the Olympics, swimming will be the number one sport in Ireland, and I'm 100% sure it is right now. And inspiring a new generation of athletes, me and Mona and the whole swim team, we did ourselves proud, and I can't wait to see what impact it's going to have in the next couple of years.
But might a lack of swimming facilities stymie Daniel Whiffen's wish? Construction of swimming pools stalled during the economic crash, and waiting lists for lessons skyrocketed during the COVID pandemic. Now, rough data shows how there are approximately 400 pools of some variety in Ireland. Half of those are in hotels. There are roughly 100 public pools. But swimming clubs and leisure centres say facilities are currently nowhere near meeting demand. Waiting lists, as I say, already long due to the pandemic, even longer now with kids inspired by the heroics in Paris. And bronze medalist Mona McSharry from Grange in County Sligo, she trained at Ballyshannon Leisure Centre in Donegal, and the manager there is Caroline Patton.
Yeah, it's serious. We've kind of reached full capacity here. We've an average of about 150 to 170 per day of little children in the swimming lessons. And that doesn't count the schools or actually Maryland Swimming Club themselves that are in so many days a week. That is a lot of kids. And then there's a waiting list. And the waiting list is probably about up in 250 for children trying to get in at the moment.
So the centre is really busy. Is it at capacity?
Yeah. It is. It really is. It's definitely full tilt here. They would be coming from the, you know, all around the county and maybe from the north as well. Enniskillen, Ardra, or even up like from Mona herself, from her direction, up the Sligo direction as well.
What of public swimming? Can people just turn up now, given the demand for lessons?
No, they can't turn up. As I said, they go on the waiting list, and we try our best then to accommodate them, you know, as the kids progress. From beginners up to improvers and so on to lanes. We can just go on with what we have here at the moment, but we could do obviously with a bigger facility to take all these kids that are waiting to get in. More and more kids. We live beside beaches. More and more kids here want to learn how to swim, you know, so they can go out in the sea as well and do their surfing and all of that kind of stuff. People find it hard to understand, and I get this, that, you know, they can't just put the child into lessons. It's not as easy as that. So they have to go on the waiting list, and we just do our best to try and accommodate them. We're still on the buzz of Mona, so that's the main thing.
Not as easy as that, says Caroline Patton in Ballyshannon. Should it be as easy as that is the question, I suppose. What's the story elsewhere, Barry?
Well, managers like Caroline are having to close off those waiting lists as well as stop public access to the water as well. And many pools and leisure centres, they're dealing with rising costs such as wages, energy, chemicals to treat the swimming pools as well. Now, the Dolphins Swimming Club in Mayfield in Cork says demand for lessons is through the roof, with waiting lists across Cork stretching to 18 months and 2 years for lessons, and irate parents, I'm told, not happy. With this in mind, the Dolphin Club recently purchased an Olympic-style swimming pool, but it's not in operation, and club chairman Giuseppe Whelan told me why.
It does sound a bit crazy. So the more modern day pools are modular in construction and design. So anybody paying attention to the Olympics and the swimming in Paris in the last couple of weeks will see that that happened inside basically a football stadium. So what happens is now the pools can be built very quickly, dismantled again. So in our case, we purchased what was the Birmingham Commonwealth Games training facility or pool which was put in place in 2022. It is a 6-lane, 2.5 metre wide lane, 50 metre long, fully qualified Olympic standard pool. So it was basically packed up, put into storage. Rather than paying the storage costs, they didn't have a use for it. We engaged with them, and it was an opportunity not to be missed to purchase it. And it arrived into Cork in May this year, and has been in storage ever since.
So the Olympic pool, which you purchased at a knockdown price, is under lock and key in a secret location since May. Why so? What's happening? Why can't it be in operation?
It's a funding game, right? First of all, it was an opportunity not to be missed, i.e. the pool, the cost price of this pool, all the component parts, is about £1 million. But we did get it at a knockdown price. The total purchase price was about €100,000. My logic was, well, OK, if we have the pool, we can work on the next stage, which is, OK, let's find a location and some land for it. So we went to Cork County Council, and they've been very gracious, and they have offered us 5 acres of land in Cork County. And we're going through the process with them at the moment to secure the lease on that. That's the next phase. OK, we have a location to put the pool in. And then the next phase after that will be obviously to apply for planning permission, see do we get that, and actually a design and a build in terms of what it actually looks like. What happened in the meantime was the large scale sports infrastructure funding became live in June this year, and it opened in June and July and then closed again. And this is the big capital funding program for sports projects in Ireland. Unfortunately for us, the timing is just terrible. We're not in a position to meet all the qualification criteria. And secondly, the way that funding works is the government will provide up to 70% of the costs of the project, and then the club will need to provide the other 30%. So if you imagine a pool of this shape and size, you're looking at a project of say 10 million, that means we have to have 3 million in the bank account in cash waiting to go, and that was never going to happen in time.
The deadline for the fund is imminent, isn't it?
The deadline for the fund is actually Friday of this week.
What's the fear here? Is it that the project, that the pool might not become operational?
Well, that's it. My message is, if we get planning permission and we have a greenfield site, if money was no object, i.e. we had the funds to go, we could have this pool operational in 12 months. That's the nature of these modular constructions.
That's Giuseppe Whelan in Cork. What have those tasks with governing swimming in Ireland, Barry? What are they saying about the current picture?
Well, I've been speaking to the Director of Operations at Swim Ireland, Mary McMorrow.
Well, we know, Barry, anecdotally, that we have an issue with swimming facilities and waiting lists for swimming lessons. However, at the moment, don't have definitive data on that, but Swim Ireland has been working on a data collection exercise for the last year, and we will be publishing a facility report, I would say, in the next maybe 4 to 5 weeks, which will really give us definitive data on where the gaps are relative to population sizes and relative to different counties. But if we could just talk about COVID for a second, I know we all want to forget that, but we do know that COVID had a significant impact on learning to swim in this country. With pools closed for almost 2 years for lessons, we estimate that about 500,000 children missed out on learning to swim at a crucial period in their lives. And there was already waiting lists for lessons in swimming facilities, so that's only been exacerbated. So that is a significant challenge for our country. But we do know anecdotally, and we're hearing it every day from our clubs in trying to book time in facilities and book pool space, we know that it's just simply not available. So there is a big issue.
Is it still the case that hotels are a key source of pools for many people, and indeed some pools are simply too far away from schools?
Indeed, that is definitely the case. We reckon that the private sector probably accounts for roughly 50%, caters for about 50% of the demand at the moment, and many schools don't have access to a swimming pool at all.
Your colleague Sarah Keane, speaking at the homecoming, saying we need to look at pool infrastructure going forward. How quickly do you think we could improve the infrastructure that's there?
I think we need to be ambitious in terms of what we want to do. A lot of the pools that we have
have at the moment were built in the 70s and 80s and are probably beyond their lifespan. The Large Scale Infrastructure Fund, we're aware of six specific pool projects that we supported in that, and we would certainly hope that they would be receiving funding under the Large Scale Infrastructure. So we are aware of facilities in the pipeline. The problem is that they do take time, and we're trying to look at pools a little bit differently in this country. You can build pools an awful lot quicker and cheaper if you look at a modular construction. If you look at above ground, for example, and a modular pool that is essentially built off-site. So we're looking at what is happening internationally, and we've actually put together a report for councils, just encouraging them to look at those different ways of building swimming pools.
And that's the Director of Operations with Swim Ireland, Mary McMorrow, there. Everything is political at the end of the day, I suppose, Barry. So what's happening politically to address the problems being outlined here?
Well, the Department of Sport in previous years and in previous times used to have a figure for the number of people nationally per swimming pool. It doesn't collate that figure anymore, but there does appear to be conflict between politicians at a national level and a local level over whom is culpable for this perceived lack of swimming facilities. The Minister of State for Sport, Thomas Byrne, he says that the government will publish the first ever national swimming strategy later this month. It had been approved by Cabinet last month, and he also pointed to a number of initiatives which are being built, a number of pools which are being constructed under the local authority swimming pool programme. However, in a parliamentary question reply last month at the Dáil, Minister Byrne seemed to intimate that the reason why pools weren't being built in a specific area is because specific local authorities didn't want to do so despite having the funding. However, some local councillors, they take a different view on this. The Dublin City Labour councillor Dermot Lacey, he says councillors' hands are tied by central government.
I would devolve the decisions on the allocation of sport in facility funding from the National Department of Sport to the local authorities. I think the local authorities are best placed to decide where and how that money can be spent, rather than effectively box-ticking exercises in the Department of Sport.
But what of that? The Department of Sport, the Minister of State for Sport, telling the Dáil recently that local authorities, councils are receiving funding here, but they're not using it for swimming pools.
I know of absolutely no proposal in Dublin City Council from government that we have turned down. Again, I think decisions have to be made at a local level as to how best we can spend that money. And that applies right across the sporting facilities.
There's a local authority swimming pool programme where funding is given to local authorities to build these facilities, and yet we see that the number of public pools remains static nationwide.
The problem, Barry, is that most of those funding grants from the department involve an incredible amount of bureaucracy, compliance with departmental rules and so forth. If the government is serious, and if the minister is serious, I set him this challenge. Give us the funding to acquire a swimming pool that is lying there in the middle of Dublin 4, closed, with all the facilities, the showers, the pools, the facilities that are there. A municipal swimming pool could be provided in Dublin City within the next week or two if the minister gave us the permission to acquire that pool. And let's do it. And give us the funding for a feasibility study for the Sandymount Strand Baths as well.
Now, that's Dublin City Councillor Dermot Lacey ending Barry Lenhan's report. 51551.